Here's a problem for you. Most of our VA hospitals are urban hospitals. Many of our vets, perhaps more than half, are rural. How do you get the veterans to the hospitals? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. First, here's some of the news stories that we're following at 30 minutes after the hour. Oil is once again leaking into the Gulf of Mexico. It's happening more slowly now, though. Small amounts of oil and natural gas are seeping out from near the containment cap. Admiral Thad Allen says the cap will stay on for now.
If there's any indication of a precipitous drop in pressure or any reason why we might need to do something about it, we would need to have to vent immediately to let relieve the pressure on the well and move to longer-term containment.
We're looking for your takes on this. Do you think we're heading to a conclusion on the leak in the Gulf?
It's Steve in Atlanta, Georgia. And I got to tell you, I am scared to death. I don't think this is going anywhere for a long time.
Give us a call and let us know, 877-8-MY-TAKE. In the meantime, millions of out-of-work Americans could be getting their unemployment benefits back soon. After the late Senator Robert Byrd's replacement is sworn in today, Democrats should have the 60 votes they need for an extension of the benefits.
Seven Latin American countries are joining Mexico in support of a lawsuit challenging Arizona's immigration law. The countries say the law could lead to racial profiling and hurt trade and tourism. This comes as 1,200 National Guard troops make their way to the U.S.-Mexican border at the end of this month. President Obama will press, President Obama will press Congress today to pass a pay equity bill. It would make it easier for women to sue their employers who pay them less than their male coworkers for the same work. And it's a landmark day in the book business. For the first time, Amazon says it's selling more digital books to Kindle and iPad users than they are selling actual books on paper to actual book readers. Celeste, you're a fan of the regular book, the traditional, the dead tree book.
Yes. I mean, there's something about the smell of a library book I love.
They could scent Kindles. There's no reason why not.
I don't think they're going to give it library book smell.
They probably not. Well, they'd make a buyer out of you, I think, if they did. Amazon says Kindle ebooks are outselling hardcover books by almost 50%. That's a lot. That's more than I thought. Let's check in on the markets now. Asian markets are mixed. European indices are down and futures are down. The Dow gets underway at 10,154. The S&P opens at 1,071 and the NASDAQ opens at 2,198. Those are some of the stories we're watching this morning.
Soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan come from hill towns and farm country all across America, and when they get back home, many of them are injured. Traumatic brain injuries, missing limbs, they require very sophisticated and constant treatment. And the Department of Veterans Affairs are the experts in treating combat injuries. But many VA hospitals, most of them, are in urban areas, hours away from the veterans who need them. We're joined right now by Ron Sandreth. He reaches out to veterans in rural West Virginia as the operations manager over community and rural health programs at Lewis A. Johnson VA Healthcare System in North Central West Virginia. Ron, you may have the longest title of any guest we've ever had on the show.
That could be correct, Celeste.
Good morning.
Goodbye.
We're also joined by Tim Bagwell, a wounded veteran who lives in a very small town in Oklahoma, and gets care for a traumatic brain injury. Good morning, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
Tim, you served in Iraq and Afghanistan. You got a brain injury while you were in what country?
I was in Iraq.
And you got back and you discovered that, well, you probably didn't discover, but you realized that you were going to need constant treatment for your combat injuries. So how are you getting them in Oklahoma? How far are you from the closest VA hospital?
Our closest VA hospital is in Muskogee, and it's about an hour and a half away. We have a clinic in Tulsa, and we have a primary care clinic that just opened up in a small town called Bonita, which is 15 minutes away. A lot of my care consists of teleconferencing if I'm unable to make a primary care appointment.
You get telemedicine.
That's correct.
And Ron Sandreth, as I understand, they're using telemedicine a lot to try and make up for the fact that there's such a huge distance between many veterans and the closest VA hospital.
Certainly telemedicine is a piece of the puzzle. We have a kind of a multifaceted approach where we have outpatient clinics, we have telemedicine, we have a rural mobile clinic that kind of hits in the middle of our outpatient clinics, and then we have a pretty extensive transportation system where we can take veterans to larger facilities like Pittsburgh where they can receive specialized care. We can pick veterans up in their communities and bring them to our hospital, bring them to our outpatient clinics. So it's one piece of the puzzle. And real quickly, I just need to thank Tim for his service to this country. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
You know, Ron, obviously there are a lot of different solutions to this problem, but that doesn't get us away from the basic difficulty, right? I mean, we still have a problem where over half of our veterans live in rural areas and over half of our VA hospitals are in urban areas. Is that a problem that we're going to have to solve?
It's certainly a challenge. And in West Virginia, we have our unique challenges. You know, we have 1.7 million citizens in West Virginia, but they're scattered. They're scattered throughout the state, and it's a mountainous state with, you know, some back roads and gravel roads and limited transportation. So certainly this has been our approach at looking at every possible avenue to get as many services closer to the veteran as possible. Our veterans deserve the best health care, and we're trying to provide that, and I think we're doing a pretty darn good job here in West Virginia.
So, Tim, explain to me, do you feel as though you're getting the best care you could get, or do you think the best care you could get would be actually seeing that doctor?
I think it's a case-by-case basis, and it depends on what you're being treated for. I regularly go to a polytrauma clinic when I can and when I have personal time available to do so from my job. If I'm unable to, because of the rapport I've created with the physician, we can work over the phone via a workbook that they provided for certain activities that I can do to help with cognitive brain function.
And for many other veterans that you know and keep in touch with, are they having the same sort of success, or are they expressing frustration over the distance?
It all depends. I think that it depends on what they're being treated for. I know individuals who are being treated for PTSD, and obviously you need to be seen by a psychologist. Sometimes you need to be seen for having medicated, adjusted, and I think that can be difficult over the phone to express what you're going through. I think it kind of depends on what the problem is and how it can be addressed.
So Ron, explain why we are in this situation. Was this an older VA system, which it hasn't changed as more of our veterans ended up in rural areas?
Well, again, I can't explain nationally why we end up in this situation, but locally in Clarksburg, our population is scattered. And I just have to say, you know, we give our veterans the option. You know, they have the option of using certain telemedicine specialties, but they also have the option of utilizing our transportation system to get to the main facility, to see someone face-to-face, to get to one of the outpatient clinics or the mobile clinic that goes out in the communities. And as Tim mentioned, a lot of times it is a case-by-case basis. It depends on the disease. It depends on the veteran's preference on whether or not they want to utilize our transportation system or whether or not they'd use telemedicine technology and be seen in their own community.
Tim, if you could change one thing to kind of solve this problem, what would it be? Would you send more doctors out into rural communities? What would you do?
I think more active approach to surveying the community to see what they need from the VA and trying to match that on a weekly basis from doctors, say, from places like Tulsa or Muskogee that are hour or so away.
And Ron, what one thing would you do? Do you think that would improve care for the veterans?
Well, we're going to continue, assessing our environment and asking our stakeholders, our veterans, what they need and what we need to do to make it better. And we're constantly evaluating, evolving, and offering more services. Again, they paid the price, and they deserve the best health care they can get in their hometown, and we're going to provide it.
All right. Well, veterans, you just heard him. He wants to hear from you in terms of how they can improve care for veterans. You can give us a call, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. That was Ron Sandrith of the Community and Rural Health Program at the Lewis A. Johnson Healthcare System, VA System in West Virginia, and Tim Bagwell, a veteran of both Iraq and Afghanistan. He's been receiving treatment for an injury he sustained in 2004.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.